We're at the 4th Annual Midwest Soil Improvement Symposium in Manhattan, Kansas today, where the focus is on gypsum. And we're going to talk with Dr. Warren Dick from Ohio State University, the Ohio State University. He is a soil scientist and professor in the School of Environment and Natural Resources. And Dr. Dick, you talked this morning about the history of gypsum use and research on gypsum's impact on crop performance. Now, just a little basic research I did, it sounds like gypsum has been used in crop production for hundreds of years.
Yeah, it's a very old material. Actually, it's one of the first materials that was actually used as a fertilizer land amendment material. In the colonial periods, both Benjamin Franklin and George Washington commissioned studies for its use because they didn't have any other nutrient sources like we have today, you know, phosphorus, potash, nitrogen fertilizers. So that was kind of the only material that they could look at, along with the manures. And so it does have a long history of use, and not only in this country, back in Europe also, even before the colonial fathers came to America.
Yeah. But so now there's a resurgence, I guess we could say, in interest?
Yes, and why is that resurgence? I think there's a number of reasons. One is just because the availability of the gypsum because of the Clean Air Acts, producing so many tons of it. A lot of it has gone into wallboard, but the 2008 economic crash really kind of crushed that market, really reduced that market. And then we had done some early work in Ohio along with maybe some other people, Moncom Sumner, Dr. Sumner in Georgia, where we were working on these byproducts from coal combustion and scrubbing out the materials and sulfur gases on coal mine reclamation. And we were finding really good success there. So it seemed like a natural progression to move from those degraded coal mine lands to agricultural soils.
So as far as availability now, is it becoming fairly widespread?
It's becoming more available, and what's happened is it's a bulky material, so you need to have a source somewhat near the market where it's going to be used. And so now companies are getting approval for marketing this FGD, the synthetic gypsum, which is produced when coal is burned, the sulfur is scrubbed. And they're getting approval in different states, so they have all these different source points now coming online, which is now making it a lot more available than it was even just 5 years ago. It's amazing how much progress they've made in the availability of the material.
Okay, gypsum's impact on crop performance. Again, sounds like you've done quite a bit of work in this area. And, what will it do for crops?
When it comes to gypsum, it's calcium sulfate, so you have calcium and sulfur. Those are your two basic elements, and they're both macronutrients. And every university in the state, in the U.S., has people working on nitrogen, phosphorus, potassium, NPK. And calcium and sulfur were kind of those, yeah, we knew they were needed. You teach about the macronutrients and the micronutrients, but it's like, it's really not important. But as we've gotten more scrubbing of the sulfur out of the air, our sulfur levels have gone down in the soil. There's been more understanding of the calcium's role in affecting infiltration and crusting and those sorts of aspects. So that's kind of generated some of this reemergence of interest. And compared to the amount of data we have with NPK, we're probably still at a very low level just because there's been so many man years of research on NPK.
Now, I'm also seeing on the program here a lot of talk about water quality and the impact that gypsum is having there.
Yeah, that was one of the side benefits. When I started, we were looking at it as a sulfur source and maybe affecting the physical properties, the infiltration, as I just mentioned. But the interest that's really caught on because of these phosphorus issues in Lake Erie and the Gulf of Mexico and other places, this whole other area of emphasis of using gypsum has really become a very strong area of programs of research across the U.S. And what happens is when you apply the gypsum is quite soluble. It reacts with the soluble phosphorus, precipitates the phosphorus, keeps it on the soil. So when you have a rainfall event or a tile flow event, the concentrations of phosphorus in that water is reduced. We're finding about 50% reduction. But that phosphorus is still available to the plant as far as the soil test level. And so that nice synergisms between the benefits on the water quality environmental side and still taking advantage of the agronomic side, those two things really are blending very nicely together.
Now, I'm told that Ohio and Indiana are probably the states using gypsum the most at this point. I mean, do you see this spreading into other areas of the country?
Yes, and I think the reason it started in Ohio and Indiana because we have such a large area of coal burning for electricity along the Ohio River. And so we had the material. We began to do research on it. We had the coal mines, like I mentioned. That's where I started my work. And so that's probably why that emphasis really started in Ohio and Indiana. But it is moving farther west, and as this symposium has shown, now we're actually for the first time west of the Mississippi River. I've worked with people that are marketing gypsum in Kansas, North Dakota, South Dakota, and there just seems to be more and more demand for it as they find benefits of it. Of course, like any other material, and I always like to say this, you have to use it responsibly. Any material can be used irresponsibly or responsibly. We want to use it the right way.
And heavier clay soils, the main areas of usage?
Well, heavier clay soils as far as main area of usage as far as physical property changes, but the lighter soils, the sandy soils, it's very important at the lower rates because it supplies sulfur for a sulfur nutrition source. Because on the sandier soils, sulfur is somewhat like nitrogen. It tends to leach quite readily. And so if on a lighter soil, you need to replenish that sulfur, but you need to do it at a lower rate level than we're doing it on clay soils. Actually, gypsum is something we're talking about here in Kansas today, but it's something that's being looked at worldwide. Brazil is using a lot of gypsum on their soils. I've been in China a number of times. They're using it a lot of their soils. So, you know, we talk about it here in the U.S. and it's important here, but it's not a new thing, as I mentioned before, and it's not just the U.S., Midwest. It's something that I think is becoming worldwide, the benefits of the usage of the gypsum.